Iwo ni mo wa gbega. Iwo ni mo wa fiyin fun. Olorun mi to gbe ni bigiga. Iwo ni mo wa gbega.
Iwo ni mo wa gbega.
Iwo ni mo wa fiyin fun. Iwo ni mo wa gbega.
Iwo ni mo wa gbega. Iwo ni mo wa bi ifo. Olorun mi to pe ni biga. Iwo ni mo wa gbega.
Iwo Olorun mi
to pe ni biga. Iwo ni mo wa gbega.
Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I am sure that you have been blessed. Amen. And like gentlemen will say, if we just close service, everybody will be glad that they came to church. Amen. Hallelujah. Because there's been word every now and then, and I'm sure that there is enough to have gone around. Hallelujah. Amen. Second Kings chapter 6. Second Kings chapter 6. I'm going to read from verse 8. God is our sufficiency. Amen. I'm going to read from verse 8. And the wrong read, but just follow me. It says, now the king of Syria was making war against Israel. And he consulted with his servant, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Amen. Let's take a pause so that we understand as we go along. So Syria and Israel are in the picture. And then the Syrian king consulted with his servants and said, look, I mean, in the olden days, the way they used to go to war, they would camp, okay? And he said, look, my camp is going to be in such and such a place. And then the man of God sent to the king of Israel and said to him, beware, do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Amen. Hallelujah. So God laid it upon or told his servant that this is what the Syrian king is planning. And it was very specific. This is where he's going to be. Amen. And then his servant told the king of Israel, do not pass this place. Hallelujah. Then the king of Israel, verse 10 says, then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servant and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Amen. So when after the man of God told the king of Israel that do not pass this place, the king of Israel wanted to ascertain, and then he sent his people there. And then, of course, they found the Syrians there, and they did not pass that place. Hallelujah. And the king of Syria, it's just like you are so sure, they're so certain that there's only, okay, so for instance, for this compound, there's only one gate out. And then you have said that, and then someone is waiting for you outside the gate. Hallelujah. And then by divine inspiration, you understood not to go out by outside the gate, hallelujah, and you found another way out. So the king of Syria was, and that's why he could have been surprised, because if there was another route, he wouldn't have been surprised. So if he had laid his siege to the only route that he thought they would pass, and then they do not pass there, then that is the only time that he can be worried that somebody in his camp is telling the king of Israel what he's doing. Amen. So, for instance, it would be funny if you are waiting for me, if we leave service now, and in your mind, you're waiting for me at Ogudu Roundabout. Because between here and Ogudu Roundabout, I have several options that I can take out of this place, irrespective of where I'm going. I can decide and branch by this church. I can go to Ojota and go this way, and then never pass Ogudu. Now, if you were there and you were telling somebody that someone must have told me that you were there, people will tell you that, look, this man has other routes out of this place. There is a lot of options for him to take. But in this instance, is even his servants did not tell him that, look, okay, they could have gone through any other place. They simply told him and said, look, he says that in verse 11. It says, therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which one of us is for the king of Israel? And one of the servants says, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. So he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he's in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? Hallelujah. So first, he was told that Elisha is in Dothan. So it was easy for him to send his chariots and horses to surround Dothan. And so when Elisha woke up, okay, he could see that he was surrounded by chariots. So I'm saying that because you can relate it to the fact that the king of Syria, when he had laid ambush and they did not pass, he could be worried because he understood that this is the only route they could have gone through. And so if they're not coming through that route, something is happening, somebody must be telling them that I'm waiting for them. Amen. You know when people want to catch you by surprise. Hallelujah. But when we walk with God, nothing comes to us by surprise. Hallelujah. We can't be surprised that God is on our side. Amen. We can't be surprised that God steps into a situation. Hallelujah. Rather, we will give praise that He's faithful to His word, because we know Him for that. Amen. So verse 14, it says, therefore He sent... Oh, sorry. Verse 15, I said, and when the servant of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Amen. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike these people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness, according to the word of Elisha. Now Elisha said to the Lord, to them, this is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I'll bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. So it was when they had come to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes and they saw. And there they were inside Samaria. Now when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, my father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them? Amen. It's amazing. So the first thing was that when this king of Syria, when his servants told him that, oh, he's a man of God that is talking to he's telling the king of Israel what you're saying in your bedroom. Ordinarily, you would think that it will be in fear of the man of God. Okay? Number one, whatever he wanted to do to the king of Israel, he did not have the man of God in picture. But the man of God took it upon himself to tell the king of Israel that this is what he's planning. Don't go that way. Now, you are now saying that somebody is selling your secrets to the king of Israel, and then they tell you he's a man of God. And then you decide that you want to go and capture that person. Don't you think that that person will already know that you are coming? It's the folly of men. Hallelujah. I mean, you are just reasoning that if he can, it's no brainer that if he can tell the king of Israel what is to come, then he probably should be able to tell that I am coming for him. Amen. But you know the way God works, his ways are far above our ways. Elisha had no inkling that they were coming to surround the city. Amen. He was just simply living a normal life. You know, this morning when we were reading Romans 15, and he talked about the fact that when you have complete joy and confidence when you put your trust in him. Amen. God, the Bible says in Hebrews, I think 13:8, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The ways of God does not change. Hallelujah. His principles are his principles. If any man puts his trust in him, God is always there. And that's what will give you confidence. You wake up in the morning and you say, thank you, God. I go again today and I come back. Hallelujah. Because you have that strong understanding and confidence in God. So Elijah just woke up ordinarily on the morning, and then he saw that there were chariots around the city. So in verse 15, it said, and there was an army around surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? Amen. So he answered him. This is when you understand God that you serve. This is what should always come up in situations. He said, he answered him. In verse 16, he said, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Amen. Hallelujah. So Elijah was seeing what his servant was not seeing. Okay? And he was firmly rooted, understanding that he has a God and he has the backing of God. He says here that, and Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Amen. The mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Hallelujah. You know what the picture is coming to my head? So the people that came from Syria, they surrounded the city like that. And then Elisha is here. And when God will open the eyes of the servant of Elisha, he found out that Elisha was surrounded with chariots of fire all around him. Amen. So between, by the city and Elisha, there was that chariot of fire that was surrounding him. Untouchable. And that's when you recall in the book of Job, he said that you have built an edge all around about him. These things are not, they are not mere words. They are the things that God has done. And that's why Romans 15 verse 4 is always critical in everything that we do. Okay? It's things that were written before, they were written for our learning. So that through our patience and comfort of the scriptures, we'll have hope. So ordinarily, Elisha was just going about his business. I mean, he didn't tell God, show me what you are going to do with king of Syria and king of Israel's case. God just showed him and said, go and tell him. Because those are God's people. Go and tell him not to pass that place. When God is watching over your business, you know, sometimes some people will come to you and tell you certain things. You're not going to say, what's wrong with them? You know, the king of Israel also, he also did a dilly-dally kind of thing. He also went to test what Elisha told him. He went to test and said, let me see. Go and see whether this guy is saying the truth. Hallelujah. You know, when we were growing up, my younger brother, he would just, I think my sister and I were in university, he would just, when my mom is coming to get us, he would just send us notes and tell us that, look, your exam, this and this are the things that you study. And then sometimes you come with my mom Okay? And then we'll mark the notes. You just sit down and mark it. Then some, you mark heavily, some light stars and all that. I was looking at the guy, like, what's wrong with this guy? I said, this guy wants me to fail you. So, I will read everything that is my note, everything, I'll read it. And then one mind will be telling me, are you burning your energy? Somebody has given you the expo. But then because I was not confident, I will read and read and read. Then when I get to the exam room, and I see that all those things that he did heavy star, they were actually very heavy in the exam. So it happened once, it happened twice. The third time when he did it, I had to borrow myself brain. That if I want to score well, I should just follow the leading. Amen. Now, I wasn't totally dependent on it. But that was God speaking. Now, God has told Elisha, this is what they're going to do. And then the king of Israel went to check. And then he said, okay, this is true. Now, see what happened. After that, he said, so after verse 18, he says, so when the Syrians came down to Elisha, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike these people, I pray, with blindness. You know, first of all, when they surrounded the city, and Elisha was standing right there, when he came out, he was standing right there, all they will see is Elisha. They will not see the chariots of fire. And those are angels on guard, so that if they mess up, the angels will strike. Hallelujah. They were on guard. And that's what gave Elisha the confidence and said, God, just open the eye of this guy, let him understand, and then let him calm down. This one is always just fretting, you know? So sometimes when we are planning things in church, okay, and we sit down with Setman, and Setman is not looking, perturbed when there is a problem. He's not looking perturbed. I say, what's my own now? Why am I worrying myself? I just feel like this. Unless, Abby, because he probably has more information than I have. Amen. So he says, no, don't worry, everything is fine. I don't even ask him, are you seeing chariots of fire? Or open my eyes. I don't want to see anything. Amen. Because these things have been written, and they are for our learning. So if God gives you a leader, hallelujah, and over time, you have seen God move through that leader, amen. The only wise thing for you to understand is to just walk with God, with that person. So when we keep going up and down, you know, in my head, I will have drawn all the tangents and everything to find a solution to the problem. And then you go to him and he say, don't worry. Things will be fine. And I'm like, why am I not sleeping? Do you get what I'm saying? Why am I not sleeping? So me too, I just say, okay, I'm not sleeping. And then my PA will not say, Pastor, why? Pastor, I say, calm down. He goes, don't worry. I don't need to see any chariot of fire. Don't bother yourself. If the person that we are following says, calm down, who are you not to calm down? Or who are you to say, okay, why are you telling me to calm down? Amen. All you need to do is to join your faith with his and align. Hallelujah. So the people that came to pick up Elisha, they didn't even know Elisha. Just like those that came to pick Jesus. Because he took Judas Iscariot, kissing him, for them to know that this is him. He said, he went to them and said, guys, you are in the wrong place. Because they came to him. Look at it. Look at the Bible here. So that you won't say what Pastor Emma is saying. So he says, when the Syrians came down to Elisha, to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike these people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness. Now Elisha said to them, this is not the way, nor the city. If they had known him in the first instance, they wouldn't have come to him to ask anything. Hallelujah. And then he took advantage and said, okay, no problem. He was going to, because he knew that if their eyes were open, he would not be able to lead them into Samaria to the king of Israel. Abi? So he said, God, for this journey, let them just be blind. And then he led them into Samaria. And then he says that, in verse 20, he says, so when they had come to Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open their eyes, the eyes of these men, that they may see. And Lord opened their eyes and they saw. And there they were inside Samaria. Hallelujah. Amen. So they know the inside of Samaria, but they don't know Elisha. They don't know him physically. Whoever told the king of Syria the other time just said there's a servant of God. And then they know that he lives in Dothan. That's all they know about him. Whatever he looks like, they don't know. Amen. But this is where I'm going. He said that, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them? But he answered, you shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with sword and your bow? Set food and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go there to their master. Then he prepared a great feast for them, and after they ate and drank, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. Amen. Hallelujah. So here was before the king of Israel, his enemies, in quote. Okay? So if Elisha had not been in the picture, the king of Israel probably have killed them. Okay? But because of the first incident, it was Elisha that told him that don't pass this way. And then he understood when he checked that, okay, this is consistent. He did not take authority over those people that was captured by Elisha. He asked, shall I kill them? And Elisha said, no, don't kill them. And then he made a feast for them. And said, since that day, they dared not trouble Israel again. Now, it could be for two reasons. One, maybe for the case of Elisha, which is not likely. Because if they had understood Elisha before, they wouldn't have come. And the second thing would have been about the treatment that they received from the king. You know, when the Bible says that, pray for your enemy, do good to those who hurt you, and those that despisefully use you, everybody will be fighting, saying, no, why should I do that? Why should I do that? This is a whole army before a king. And he did not hold back one of them. He made a feast for them. That's what the Bible says. Hallelujah. Let's open to Psalm 125, verse 2. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem. Have you ever thought about this scripture? I'm sure this is not the first time you hear it. But have you ever thought about this scripture and said, how does mountains surround Jerusalem? You know, because a lot of us will pray this prayer. I say, God, you surround me as mountains surround Jerusalem. How does mountains surround Jerusalem? So when you see scriptures, that is, I don't know the English to use, but it relates with physical things, then you begin to wonder, what does the psalmist mean that as mountains surround Jerusalem? Okay? But we just looked at it now in 2 Kings chapter 6, that Elisha, okay, God surrounded him in the spirit with chariots of fire. So he was untouchable. So if anybody approached him or wanted to do any, it was not going to be possible. Because God has surrounded him. But he says here that as mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. Hallelujah. So if you look at history says that there are about 7 mountains around Jerusalem. And then it's built around it like that, and then it's right in the middle. And you and I know that mountains are not easy to, they are not easy to surmount. Even when you say, everything that is, okay, the people in the Western world, they all study it, Abby, and then find a solution for it. So there are people that you call mountain hikers. Even with all their mountain hiking, it's not every mountain that they face. Abby? It's not every mountain that they face. And for you to understand what the Western world does, they study things so well, and then find a solution to those things. Okay, so I think, what was I telling? This Olympics that we just finished. Before, it was Africa's birthright. Africa and Africans, our birthright for long distance races. I'm not saying Nigerians, so mind, I say Africa. Africa. I'm not saying Nigerians. It's a bad ride for long distance races. When I talk long distance, I talk of 10,000, I talk of 5,000, even 1,500, 5,000. It's a bad ride. But when I was watching Olympics, all the Africans were practically behind. Ordinarily, if they finish a race and there are 24 people, maybe the first 8 will be Africa. In time past, and then you'll be seeing Western people and all that. But now it's no longer like that. Even the African that manages to come first, he manages to come first now. What has happened? The Western world has come and has studied why we are able to have that kind of endurance. And they have gone to build it, to build it into their own athletes. So their training regimen, okay, is so different. And because they are advanced, they do a little more. Before now, when I was growing up, I went to a school that we had, it's not an insult, but we had Oyibo, you know, Oyibo children. Like white children, we had them. But if you look at them, you should look at them and say, this one, I'll finish him. Abi, the way they be doing, what's this one now? There was this guy, Nana, his son was Nana Sakara, he's from India. So if he hears his name today, he say, this boy doesn't remember my name. He will just come just like, what's this one? Why? What's this one? So imagine that they now put me in the ring with that one and say, let us fight. And that one now beats me. It's like telling me and Desola to fight. And then you say, Desola beats Pastor Y, black and blue. Everybody will say, no, Pastor Y was like giving it to him. So ordinarily you see them and say, no, they can't. And truly they can't. So the likes of the Kenyans and the Ugandans, because of the high altitude of where they are and their training, okay, they have long bursts in their chest. They can go very long distances. So that's what they have done. Now, he says, so I'm telling you that the mountains that surround Jerusalem, they have 7. And it's there in the middle. So that's why the Bible says, as the mountains surround Jerusalem. So it's not penetrable by enemies from outside. That's why you can relax and say, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. Because you can relate with that. It's not penetrable. And if you go to modern day, I can't even use Aso Rock anymore as any example. But when you go to fortified places, enter, if you go to the US, these embassies here, you can't. Even if you look at the walls and everything, you are it's inside our own country. We can't, because it's fortified. That's what God is assuring you, that you are fortified on every side. Every side, not in front or at the back. As long as you trust in him. You know, when we were closing Bible school this morning, please give me Romans chapter 5. 15 verses 16, 17, and 18. Romans 15, 16, 17, and 18. What has happened to this thing? This is Ajiri. Oh, sorry. Psalm 145. After you go to exam room, you have crammed questions. You have crammed verses. You didn't remember the chapter or the book. That give you a question. You know, I've done that thing before in exam. When I was preparing to go from secondary school to primary school, secondary school. So every time we practice. My mother will give me past questions, I'll do it. It says 0.25 times 1,000. You just say 6.25. 0.25 times 10,000. So all I was used to was 0.625 times 1,000. When I got to the exam, the very bad, wicked people, They now bought 0.625 times 10,000. So me, I just put 6.25. And it is, you are supposed to, when you go and do exams for my mommy, you mark the question paper. So I marked my answer and got to him. I was feeling cool. When she opened the paper, I just saw it. She just landed me one heavy knock. Now, why is your head so spongy? You know what? So why is your head so spongy? He said, what have I done now? He said, can't you see that there are more zeros? Oh, no. So he says, the eyes of all look expectantly to you and give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of everything, every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. 18. The Lord is near to all who call upon him and to all who call upon him in truth. Amen. He says, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. Hallelujah. John 17:17. The book of John 17:17. So you keep Psalm 145:18. It says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Let's go back to Psalm 145:18. Psalm 145:18. It says, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. Hallelujah. So if you call upon him in his word, amen, then the Lord is near to all. Hallelujah. It's not everybody that calls him Lord, hallelujah, that has access to him. Amen. Without the word of God, you do not have access to him. Because his will is made known in his word. Hallelujah. And the Bible tells us that the word of God is truth. So if you are wondering what's this truth about, you call upon him in his word. So oftentimes when we pray, he said we have learned all the time to pray back the word of God to him. Hallelujah. So if you weave your own words, anything you are weaving, make sure that it's based on the scripture or on a particular scripture, on God's word. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's go back to 2 Kings. Look at Proverbs chapter 25. So the king of Israel made a feast for them, and that was the end of their troubles. Psalm 25, Proverbs 25 from verse 21. It says, if your enemy is hungry, give him food. Feed him. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he thirsty, give him water to drink. For so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Hallelujah. It's not in your place to fight. What is in your place to do is to stay where God asks you to stay. And do the things that he has asked you to do. So imagine that the king of Israel was not obeying man of God, okay? And the man of God was actually saying the word of God. So if the king of Israel was not obeying God's word, he would have been captured by the king of Syria. And then we would not have seen that there can actually be chariots of fire around people that believe and stay with God. You know what the Bible says about Job? I think it's in the book of James, that he made us to see the end that God intended. So these things did not happen so that we can talk about stories. It's so that we can see the way that God deals with his people and things that concern him and are obedient to his word. Amen. So each time situations arise, and that's why I read Psalm 145, 16, 15, 16, 17, 18. Each time situations arise, we have to understand that the Lord is merciful and is gracious to us. In Psalm 124, he says, in verse 8, he says, our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. You know, if you look at the story of Elisha, how did Elisha go to heaven? How? What was his transport mode? Okay. So, you haven't answered me. How did he go? What was his transport mode? Chariots. What? Who else? Eh? You are not answering me now. Anybody want to try? Toby, help me find that scripture. The one chariot. The one for Elijah. You know that song? Keke ina lo fi gbe Elisha. Okay. Aramada lo fi ti is a lie. Well, let me get it. He went up by a whirlwind. So when I'm saying that, because we are always in error of not going back to the scripture and actually see. It says, the Bible says, our help is in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And it tells us that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because when things begin to look like they are looking now, amen. When things begin to look like they are looking now, like it's happening in this country, people will complain and say, but why is God allowing this thing to happen? But God didn't promise you that these things will not happen. I see. And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take Elijah up into the heaven by a whirlwind. Elijah went with Elisha. Okay? Stay there, for the Lord has sent me, blah, blah, and the Lord leaves, blah, 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 blah. So, oh yeah, I don't need it anymore. He went up with the whirlwind. That's what I wanted to show. And then it says that then it happened as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with the horses of fire and separated the two of them. What did the chariot of fire do? It separated who and who? So, keke ina lo fi gbe Elijah, okay. Aramanda Loviti is you are the one that called this cow. But you can't blame everybody for his understanding. The chariot of fire came to separate them, and then he went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Hallelujah. You know, even in the Bible story that the Yoruba people, they showed us Elijah in the chariot of fire, and he was carrying him. And if you went to Sunday school then, that's the picture that I still have that picture in my head. But the day I saw this, I said, the Bible cannot be wrong. And as I keep saying that, look, don't take one chunk of the Bible and be running around. You know, now, like I just finished saying, be running around. Somebody will say, my pastor, I said they should be running around. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because he only heard that part, be running around. That's a sound bite. They say, pastor, I said this, we should be running around. So when you wake up tomorrow morning, let's just start running around. This is so. It's just the same way when we talk about the Hebrew women and when women want to give birth. See, we are very familiar with that story in the Bible. And everybody now prays that God let me give birth like a Hebrew woman. How did the Hebrew woman give birth? They give birth normally like every other woman. Abi? But because they were telling a lie, to escape, the servants of Pharaoh was telling Pharaoh a lie. To escape the wrath of Pharaoh, because he had told them that none of them should give birth to any child. Eh? They now going to tell him that these Hebrew women, they just give birth with ease. Before you get there, boom, the child has come out. And then everybody started praying and said that they should give birth like Hebrew woman. So when somebody has prayed from morning to night that you should give birth like Hebrew woman, and then goes into the world and he screams, 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 like Uche just experienced, then you now come back and fight God. I said, after all, I prayed. These words, we are to search them out for ourselves and read them, because they are legible and we can understand them. So the things God has promised us, we should look at them critically. I said, God, you did not promise, you didn't tell us that there will not be tough times. What he has said that, if you look at Psalm 123, what he has said is that, I will provide. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I was telling you in the Bible school this morning that when I went out yesterday, I was forced to buy fuel at a certain price. I bought it at that price because God provided. When I was leaving the house, I didn't have money that much. I didn't have that much money on me to buy that kind of fuel. I just said, okay, I'll just go and buy whatever. I didn't even know that at that point in time that the price had gone that high. And so when I got there, I looked at it, I'm like, no problem. But on my way, I just got an alert. It was a story that made me remember. I just got an alert. I just saw the money. I said, who is sending me the money? I just said, who is sending me? I just looked at it. I scanned my head out. Who is sending me money? And I looked at it. And I said, okay, it must be one person. So I sent to my brother. I said, guy, did you send me money? He said, yes. I said, why are you sending me money? He said, the money I owed you now. I said, myself, I don't forget. He said, officially. He said, the money, he said, but you borrowed me this money. I said, I can't remember. And yet I was going in confidence that God, whatever I would buy for him. So when I was busy pumping the machine, my wife was wondering. When I told her the cost of the fuel, I just smiled. It's now that she's just knowing. Because what he said is that you will not want. So the king of Israel did not lack direction. Because he could recognize God in Elisha. Hallelujah. And when he would have made a mistake, he still went back to Elisha and asked, what do I do? And I've told you one thing now. It's not about the man. So I'm not saying that you should go back to pastor and say, what do I do? The word that, what Elisha did was to give him the word of God. Okay? And what he did the second time also was to tell him the mind of God. But no, don't kill them. Make them food and do all these things. So what I'm saying is that in every circumstance we find ourselves, we should always go to God and ask him, what do I do? Look at what Christ said in the book of John. John chapter 16. John 16 from verse 12. It says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Hallelujah. So, in this dispensation, we are clearly seeing that whatever that you are hearing from the Spirit are things that he has heard, okay? He's not speaking of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. He said, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. And what is truth? What is truth? The word of God. Amen. He will guide you into all truth. And you can only find the truth in God's word. He said he will tell you of things to come. He will not speak of his own authority. That is taking direct instructions from God. And then he says, he will tell you these things to come. And your responsibility is to behave like the king of Israel. Hallelujah. When you hear it, you walk with it. Hallelujah. And you go back again and say, what do I do after this? Because all our actions should be based on God's instructions. Every one of them. Every one of them. So my children came to me. They said, They needed training in certain things. I said, okay, no problem. I'll find a solution. So that morning, in my own capacity as their father, you know, you before me father, in my own capacity as their father, I took a journey. I went to where I thought they would get help. When I got there, they said, oh, no, we don't offer this kind of thing anymore. So they just sent me away. It was then that I reset my head. I said, God, this one that I thought that had answer, I didn't get any answer. So what do I do? You know, as I was even asking him, what do I do? I was already planning to go to another place. He now said, no, don't do that. Don't go there. Go here. I said, that place doesn't look like anything. He said, go there. So on my way to where he sent me, Tebeloluwa sent me a chat. He said, so Daddy Alpha, I said, no, that didn't work out. I'm going to this place. He said, no, that place is not going to work. This is not there. I just smiled because, of course, in his own whatever, I just smiled. I said, don't worry. He told me to go to the second place. The second place I was about to go to, then God told me go to this third place. So when I got to the third place, immediately at the gate, the security man, I just asked them, I need this and this. He said, fine. And then he took me to two gentlemen. I had a solution to what we were looking for. In where we thought in our own mind that it was blink. But God said, go there. So when I got home, I said, you know what? When you were sending me chat, actually God told me to go there. So I'm saying, because of the knowledge base that we think we have, sometimes we decide to help God. So in all my mind, the first place I went to, I was like, okay, they'll be fine here. Because I used to be there to do that kind of training. But he's saying here that the Spirit will lead you into all truth. You cannot get the truth outside the word of God. Amen. So even as the Spirit of God is prompting you, everything is prompting you about is consistent with God's word. You will find it in God's word. Amen. Now every time we go for naming ceremony, I'm always telling people that when I gave birth to my first son and my only son, I call first son as if I have two. And we're going to do his naming. I collected name from left, right, everywhere. And then it became a problem. I collected name from my own side. I collected name from my wife's side. And then me, I was forming father. When I finished collecting the name, the people that gave me name insisted that I must use the names they gave me for the child. I said it's my fault too. So when my mother and I were arguing, I said, calm down. We went to the scriptures. I said, see, Zechariah. It's not his father that gave him the name John. God sent his angel and told him, this is the name of the boy. I said, even Jesus, let's even, for, God came and told Joseph in a dream that this is what you called. So the one that he told you people is one of, don't people understand that there's a boundary to all these things? Because wallah, I'm just, if you have not given birth now, I'm just telling you. Because you are used to a pattern. Abi? So I was going to ask, when all that while I was on, I said, this one you gave me, who gave you my own name? Don't go ask that question at all. I'm the only one that can ask that question. If any other person asks that question in my family, it's the trouble. It's only me that can ask that question. Amen. So it says that whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. I don't know how many of us get excited when we read God's word. Don't even bother to go about the promises. Just go find out how awesome God is and how faithful he is. You marvel at it. That's why most of the time I read these stories. Because if one man could see a chariot, another man cannot see that chariot. And then one man is praying that God open his eyes. That's God's power at work. Then he's also praying that people should go blind so that he can take them to where they are not supposed to be. Abi? So if Kenny and I have a problem now, and I know Kenny fears those boys at what do you call it? Ojota. He fears them. I just say, God, give him blindness. I just take it there. When he get there, open his eyes and say, Pastor, why? I don't need to fight. When he get there, just say, Pastor, I'm sorry. I say, okay, God, yeah, let's go. Imagine that. This is in the Old Testament. And we have better promises. When we talk about, so one day when I was in secondary school, and this was about 1992, when I was in secondary school, I was reading the book, The Greatest Mysteries of the World. In that book, and I wish I can find that book again, it says that there's one day missing in record of the world. One day. I just laugh. You know the day that is missing? The day that Joshua stopped the sun. I said, stand still. Now, all these things that we are reading, they were done by God's inspiration. Now he has given us his Holy Spirit. Amen. And we always will come here and we say it every time. In him we live, we move, and we have our being. It cannot be less spectacular than what was in the Old Testament. In fact, it is better. Hallelujah. And we're not even looking at, say, we want to do miracles. We are looking at the fact that we obey God and we see the things that he said come to pass. Amen. The Bible says the church is the ground and the pillar of truth. This is our new definition of truth. If you remove truth there, it says the church is the ground and the pillar of the word. So if we'll be dealing with the word, you will do it in church. We dissect it, we open it up, and then we work with it. We have to move on to more mature things when it comes to the word of God. And we have to walk the work of God. In Acts chapter 2, the other day we were looking at it, Acts chapter 2. It said when the Holy Spirit came upon them, okay, everybody spoke in diverse tongues. And people came, I think there were about, people came and heard their languages and said what they were telling them was the wonderful works of God. So if you had 12 disciples, each one was saying different things. Each one was speaking in different languages, but we are talking about the wonderful works of God. So you ought to see the wonderful works of God for you to be able to talk about them. And we know that the book of Acts did not end with amen. It just ended abruptly. And we know that we are the continuation of the Acts of Apostles. We are. Each one of us. So if you say we have 12, I think we should be even doing Bible quiz in church now. I'm not a competition. If I say we should name all the 12 disciples, we are name all the 12 disciples. He said he only said amen. I'm saying if you name all the 12 disciples, then you'll be the 13th one. Each one of us will be the 13th one. Each one of us that holds on to that confession of Christ. Each one of us will be the 13th one. Each one of us can be Peter. That we've had an instruction. You see, life as a born again, as a Christian, gives you advantage because you can see things that are yet to come. Except you're not sensitive in the spirit. King of Israel did not act. Everything he did in 2 Kings 6, 8 to the end, he did not act on his own instructions. He acted on God's instructions. And you know what was the end of it for him? It was peace. Give me the last verse. 2 Kings chapter 8. It says, from that day, Abby, from that day, they did not disturb to verse 23. It says, Then he prepared a great feast for them, and after they ate and drank, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. There was peace. Obeying God. But what did the Bible say? It says that if a man's way pleases the Lord, it will cause his enemies to be at peace with him. And how can you please God? Who can help me? How can we please God? Hebrews chapter 11. 1. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 6. Thank you. Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. And it's only faith in him that will make you obey. Hallelujah. Only faith in God makes you to obey him. I know God knows every man's heart. You cannot be doing Niger bet with God. He says, see, I will obey this one, I'll go. I will obey this one. No, it doesn't behave like that. It's a consistent work with him. King of Israel obeyed God twice, listened and pleased God twice, and the end was peace for him. In Romans chapter 15, in the New Living Translation, verse 13. NLT. Let me read it. It says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It says, then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. When you trust in him, you will be completely filled with joy and peace. That's not to say there are no challenges. That's not to say there are no challenges. You know, I told you the other time that in 2002 or 2003, when they just told us that they were going to downsize. And everybody was running helter-skelter. Yeah, I'll come into the office. I'll come as early as 6:30 and I'll leave as late as 11 p.m. And what's wrong with you? They said they're going to downsize, blah, blah, blah. I said, whatever happens. I told them, I said, whatever happens, they cannot touch me. They said, who are you? I said, well, I know who I am. So one woman came to me. Call her Alaja Kudi. She came and said, NY. I said, what is it? Ah! The downsize, oh! I mean, I just got this job, oh! I don't even know where to go to. I don't want to go and be selling any rice again and whatever. I said, man, don't worry. When they do all they want to do, we'll be fine. She said, come. I see that you don't have no worry. She used Yoruba. She said, why don't you Nironu? You understand? Why is that you don't have any worries? I said, because I know God. You would think that these people put me here, but it's God that puts me here. So it's not that there won't be trouble, but if you stay within your space, that chariot of fire will be around you. As mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds them forthwith and forever. That's what the Bible says. But just obey, just listen and trust in him. That's where peace is. You know, when they are banging windows up and down, banging, bag, 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 and you are just seated in your place. You know, the last time there was NSAS riot, everybody was indoors, Abby. Me, I went out to, I went to see the road. After they have finished breaking everywhere, I couldn't believe it. But when they were breaking, we did not hear where we were. God, Hebrews chapter 13. And verse 8. Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you can look back at yesterday and you see him, and you look at today and you see him, you are sure that tomorrow you will see him. All you need to do is trust in him. When the word comes to you, trust it and walk with it. Let's rise to our feet. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So do not be attracted by strange new ideas. Your strength comes from God's grace, not from rules about food, which does not help those who follow them. Your strength comes from God's grace. Let's talk to him this morning. Thank you for a reawakening and the deposit of the word of God. Your word is true. He said that the Holy Spirit will tell us of things to come. Thank you because we are in a place to understand the nudging of the Holy Spirit. Even to know when to step out and when to come in. To know when to launch into the deep and to know when to go home. Know where to cast our net and to know where to keep our cool, because it is instruction that we are living by. Thank you because our lives will not remain the same again. As we follow him, we enter a new realm and a new dispensation with him, never to come back from it, but to continue to progress in it, in Jesus' name. Lord, we give you all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray.